Morgan Malone, Chief Executive of the Analytics Institute of Ireland, and you're very welcome to our podcast series, Data Leaders. In these podcasts, I chat with some of the most important and influential people in the data analytics area in Ireland, and I try to find out a little bit about the people and personalities behind the careers. I also want to explore their philosophy in relation to data and analytics in general, and also find out a little bit about where they think the industry is going in the future. I hope you enjoy this series of interviews, and if you do, please subscribe below. Thank you. So good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Data Leaders series of podcasts. I'm Lorcan Malone, Chief Executive of the Analytics Institute, and I'm with today Ole O'Reilly, who's partner and head of the analytics practice with EY in Ireland. Good afternoon, Ole.
Afternoon, Lorcan. Good to talk.
And to you. We're meeting at strange times. We're, I suppose, hopefully past the midpoint of the COVID-19 issue, but it's been, we're probably about 5 or 6 weeks now into our lockdown, and hoping that the future is becoming a little bit brighter. How are things in EY, and how are you managing to cope with the COVID-19 situation?
I think we're all still in a period of adjustment, Lorcan. Like everyone else, when this broke initially, your first concern is always, you know, kind of your own family and the people around you. Very quickly turns to colleagues and people that work with you. And you know, clients for us are really important. And then you start thinking about the sustainability and of the business, and how do we safeguard some of that. So it's a bit of a funny one. You know, the focus very much early on was, you know, how do we get people working safely, and you know, how does all that fit and work? And you know, very, very surprisingly and strangely, has been pretty resilient actually, as people start to kind of work from home and connect in different ways. You know, don't get me wrong, not without its challenges. But it feels like we're kind of into a bit of a rhythm on that. You know, the technology has really helped. It's helped accelerate how we use things like Teams and various other kind of remote working pieces. I think, you know, you then start to think about our clients, and, you know, our clients are right across industry sectors, do lots and lots of different things. And we do lots of different things with them, obviously. So, you know, some things have slowed down, some clients, as you might expect, but other clients, things have picked up pace, and we're being asked, you know, during times like this, kind of reminds me of the financial crisis. You're being asked to help in lots of different ways. You know, that could be with the banks, you know, as they kind of work through some of the measures that are happening with repayments, etc. But also, you know, the health sector, transport sector, government, as they respond to the crisis. So that's been varied and different. And then you start to think about the business and the resilience of the business. And I suppose, like everyone, you start to get into lots and lots of scenario planning and what if this could happen. And, you know, it's one which I'm sure everyone's kind of exhausted with as they think about all the possibilities. And I think what's really, really clear as you stick close to the media is, we don't really know what's going to happen. You know, we've got a level of restriction lift shortly, but we're not really sure what the next 6 months is going to look like. But look, I'm pretty happy with it, Lorcan. You know, there's a good resilience in the business, and you balance the things that have slowed versus the things that have accelerated. And, you know, we feel like we're in good enough shape. But most importantly, you know, people in the team seem to be well.
Good. In terms of, I do think, taking a step back from this situation, I do see analytics, and this is why we're in discussion this afternoon, analytics really has played a very important role in both our understanding of what's happening and potentially predicting as much as we can what's about to happen, and has brought analytics, I think, to the forefront in some ways. I've seen more than I ever have in the last 5 years, in the last weeks. It's amazing to me to watch, you know, people who don't have any background in analytics starting to talk about flattening curves.
Yeah.
sort of stuff. Just in terms of analytics, Owen, perhaps seeing as you're heading up EY's analytics practice, you could tell us a little bit about what EY does in the analytics area and what you're doing with clients and what are the most important things you're doing with clients at the moment.
Yeah, sure, Larkin. And you know, I really agree with you actually on the, isn't it great to see, you know, the experts, you know, and I mean that in terms of our medical staff, but also people that deeply understand data, isn't it? It's very, you know, kind of reassuring and positive, I think, in an awful lot of ways that we see their opinions coming to the fore. And, you know, I have to say, I've really enjoyed all of the papers and all the comparisons and all the analysis and, you know, all the critiques, actually, I'd say, of different modeling and different modeling approaches. But it's good to see it get prominence, you know, and actually show in a very real way how analytics is going to be a big part of the solution here. Not just how the disease spreads, but also how we use data to react in coming weeks and months to, you know, that intelligence from contact tracing and disease outbreaks. You know, data, you listen to the WHO, data is probably one of the most critical ways of us kind of controlling this thing. So it's very, very real. So jumping on from there to what we do and what we do in the practice, I mean, if I really simplify it, I think, you know, we help our clients with their data problems is probably the easiest way to put it. And that can come in a number of facets. You know, it can be some clients want to help understand, you know, what data they have and how they think about their analytics strategy. Some want to, you know, get some help from us on thinking about where to apply analytics, what are the rights, you know, what's the value they can deliver analytics. And then at the other end of the scale, we've plenty of our clients that want us to do the analytics for them and, you know, build analysis and do data engineering, you know, build you know, models, simulations, advanced analytics and kind of help build solutions that consume out the other end. I think for us, Larkin, the big angle always is our clients see us as a kind of a trusted brand, and they see us probably, you know, more in the business space than the engineering space. So I suppose when we're talking about analytics, we always try and lead with you know, how do we frame this from a business perspective, and how do we frame this from a commercial lens, and that, you know, building that bridge between technical delivery of analytics and trying to answer, you know, the strategic questions in the boardroom of the organization is probably where, you know, we most want to play and is probably our sweet spot.
Yeah, it strikes me that over the last, I suppose, 4 years that the Analytics Institute's been going, the biggest difference I think that has emerged over the last 4 years is how analytics has become sort of a central plank of business strategy, supporting business strategy, where when we started out 4 or 5 years ago, it was kind of a bit tangential to the realm. It was something that was done primarily at the IT level or at a technical level.
Oh, I'd agree.
And I think what COVID-19 has done to a certain extent is made experts of us all in understanding.
Well,
you know, you hear people, you know, journalists talking about, you know, we need more data. We won't be able to until we have the right amount of data.
And I think that's right, Larkin. And you take that on a step further. And certainly what I've seen in an awful lot of my clients is, you know, forget about the disease spread for a minute. And, you know, how you know, let's say our government and health systems are responding to this. But almost every one of my clients is also kind of grappling with, as they work through, you know, Jeannie, you know, how is this impacting our business? It's a data question, right? They need to understand what's happened sales.
Yeah.
And it's a, how is this impacting my workforce? Again, it's a data-driven question. You know, they need to understand who's where are the risks? Where are we bringing people together? When they start to talk about how do we recover from this in a meaningful way and what the scenarios can be, it's a modeling and data question. And I think it's brought to the fore two things. One is, as we mentioned earlier on, the power of modeling and the respect for modeling and how useful that can be. But then secondly, I think it's also brought to the fore the gaps I'm going to call it the information infrastructure or data infrastructure that many people have, right? So those simple questions I mentioned earlier on, like, you know, where are our people and how is this impacting our revenues? Sometimes they can't answer those things quick enough. And that's really shone a light on kind of challenges and gaps with their data, which, you know, no doubt when we all hopefully get to a recovery phase and we have all these lessons learned and we have all these, you know, kind of in, you know, investments in projects to try and, you know, make businesses more resilient. So I think some of that would really come to the fore.
It's interesting, isn't it, that when you're challenged like this, how your thinking has to, you either accelerate your thinking or die. You know, you either respond or just get left behind. I think one of the things that struck me with business in general with this is that you have to get away from trying to do, you can't do everything now. So what are the really important things that you need to do in order to keep going? And what are the things that add the most amount of value to your business? So it's only when we remove some of the comforts around our business, when it's stripped back to the bare core, that we really begin to understand.
Absolutely right.
Value is that we deliver. Can I just ask you just a little bit about yourself and your career? So you're heading up a very large practice in analytics in EY. But how did you get to there from your career? Can you bring us back a little bit and explain how come you ended up in analytics and why EY, and how come you've ended up in the very successful role that you have?
Yeah, sure, Orkin. Yeah, so a bit of a jagged path, if I want to put it like that. I mean, probably my interest. So I guess originally from Port Arlington in County Laois, grew up there and then studied in Dublin. You know, so I've from a family of four. My dad spent 35 years working for Odlam's Mills, which are getting great press recently as everyone's running out of flour, which brings me back to my summers kind of loading lorries and picking orders and all those kind of good things. Sure. And so after school, I studied in Trinity. I studied management science and information systems. And I guess if you were looking at that course now, you'd probably call it analytics, or it's as close to business analytics, a course, as you could possibly find out there, because it was really about how do you apply quantitative methods and computer science to solve business problems. Brilliant course, really, really enjoyed it. Did that for 4 years. Joined a different Big Four actually initially in my career. What I did initially was not actually analytics; it was systems design and development. So large scale system implementation, programming, Java, all that kind of stuff. My claim to fame or project I remember most was I worked on an implementation of online motor tax, which is something that everyone can connect with, or if you ever tax your car, you know the application. So that was a lot of fun. Spent a couple of years there, and then I went back to college and did a master's in security and forensic computing, which was again different to analytics, and very, really about having done development, it kind of got closer to IT security. Having done that for a year, I joined EY. EY had at that time a really fantastic practice. This is about 2005 or 2006. A fantastic, what we called an advanced security center, where we used to help clients security test their online systems. So, ethical hacking, essentially. Really a lot of fun, actually. It was a great time to join EY. It was a great fun at that practice. But you know what? I started to do a lot of risk and security work. And I just, if I'm quite honest, I started to get a bit tired of the conversations of, if this happened or this risk, if this risk materialized, then you could have this impact. And I felt to myself that it was just a bit removed from the business action. So I did a kind of a strange thing, and I decided to study accounting. I was in a Big Four, kind of surrounded by accountants. So I thought that might be a good idea. I'm not quite sure why I did it, but anyway, I ended up doing that. Became a qualified accountant. And then in about 2012, 2013, I started the analytics practice in EY. So I had this strange kind of background of, you know, accounting giving me business experience, the security and IT development stuff giving me deep technical experience. And then I had a kind of a heritage in analytics from the management science undergrad. So I thought kind of muddling those together to try and lead an analytics practice made sense. And, you know, since then it's been great. You know that practice has flourished. We're up to about 140 people and having a lot of fun doing it. So it's probably a longer answer to your question than you wanted, Lorcan.
Well, no, actually, it's really interesting because I think a lot of our members, you know, we've a lot of younger members who are starting out in their careers, and I think a lot of the time the value of some of our events is to kind of inspire them a little bit about where they can go with their careers, and I think it's always interesting to hear the routes people have taken into analytics. It's not like analytics has been around for 100 years. It's not like or whatever. You can't formally get into it in a very structured way. It tends to happen to people quite a lot. I think more and more now it's by design. Right. But I think before, you know, up to a number of years ago, it was probably by accident more than design. It's very interesting to me that you actually established the practice in EY. Did you have to persuade the organization that analytics was something important enough to have a practice in?
Well, that's a really good question, because like you say, people think that analytics is this new thing, but like, you know, I work in an environment where quantitative methods and analysis of numbers and data is very important, right? That's what if you strip back down what a lot of professional services organizations do, and I mean that in terms of audit, tax, you know, we get a lot of information. There's complex sets of rules. We analyze that information and we conclude. Now, none of my colleagues would like me simplifying it to that level, but you're in an environment that actually is, you know, kind of gets and respects the importance of data. So, you know, there was a bit of work to do to kind of persuade, and like startup in any business, to get people on board and to kind of land the idea and a different direction. But, you know, I had some great sponsorship from other partners before I became a partner, that, you know, really kind of gave me the room actually, and yeah, supported me to kind of be quite entrepreneurial around it. And that was a really fun time, you know, kind of, you know, like you've done with the Institute, to kind of spin up a business within a probably safer environment, you know, no doubt. But it was a lot of fun to try and create a vision for what the business could be, create a strategy, and then start going after things. So I was very lucky, you know, and I always would say that to people, is you do need a lot of luck and you do need a good bit of sponsorship. And, you know, regardless of ability, if you don't have those things, you know, it can tend to be a tricky journey.
True. I think you do have to have a bit of vision as well, Owen, and you obviously did, to see it where it was going at the time that you did it quite early on. Looking ahead, Owen, I could see, you know, in your business or in the financial and the audit practices in the Big Four and elsewhere, I assume that things like robotic process automation are going to become more and more important. There's the automation of some of the processes around audit, I imagine is a big issue for you guys in terms of how you're going to do that and maximize that. I assume it's happening already. And then I'd ask you to maybe talk to that a little bit, but also to the future of analytics, and where do you see both the industry going and also the technology or the approach going? Where do you see analytics, growing further in organizations, and where do you see the technology going?
Yeah, okay. No, good question. I mean, I'll take the first bit on, I mean, I do always think about analytics in two buckets for us, for ourselves. We have our, you know, our kind of analytics consulting business, which is what you'd probably expect from any professional services organization, where, you know, we're helping our clients with their analytics journeys. And then, like you mentioned, Lorcan, we have, you know, as an organization that processes and analyzes, you know, huge amounts of data, you know, to kind of reach those conclusions I mentioned earlier, we've got our own kind of, call it transformation journey or innovation journey, whatever you want to call it. And that is huge for us. And, you know, you're dead right. You know, everything from audit work to tax work, to kind of how we consult for clients in areas like supply chain, et cetera, is all becoming very, very analytics driven. And it's a huge, I mean, it's hugely positive and exciting for people like me, right? Because, people like us in the analytics game, you know, have an ability to contribute and influence in that particular space. And you know, it drives demand in one ways. But it's equally challenging. Like any change is challenging for organizations. It's challenging around, you've done things a certain way for a long time and you're asking people to consider and do that in different ways. Some things can be automated. Some things you can get better, you know, precision, you know, through use of analytics. So like we're all kind of going through that journey of what does that kind of new world with increased use of analytics in those traditional things look like. But we're always guided by our clients. You know, in a lot of ways, like it really resonates with our clients and they really connect with that whole idea that we're going to be, we're going to have an ability to kind of take more data from you and analyze that in a better way. And they really welcome the perspectives then we'll have on their data and this insights in their business, you know, in addition to kind of just delivering on the core mandate of signing an audit opinion or doing some tax compliance work. So that's a really interesting journey. That's a really interesting journey and one that's still very much in flight, I'd say, with plenty to go and plenty of complexities to think about, particularly in regulated environments. Your question then on the future of analytics is, it's gas. I'm trying to stop myself from doing any predictions because I wouldn't have predicted we'd be all sitting here in our rooms, doing a podcast a couple of months ago.
Brings all that risk.
But if you're really pushing me to make some predictions, I mean, I think we're in a really interesting time in analytics. Actually, I think we've gone from, you know, you mentioned it yourself, Lorcan. We've gone from, and COVID's actually only going to accelerate this. Is we've gone from this being an interesting IT experiment over on one side. If you went back, you know, kind of 8 years ago, I mean, if you think post-crisis last time, there was a huge focus in the banks and on data. And the banks, you know, you start to see the prevalence of roles like CDO, you know, coming into the banks much heavier and responsibilities for analytics. Fascinating thing for me the last couple of years is that those roles now are starting to permeate into government, into enterprise, you know, private enterprise. Yeah. So like that's a really simple metric for me to show the increasing importance of analytics, right? And that's only gonna go one way. Now, I do think though, like as we look to the future, I still think there's a bit of work for us as analytics professionals and leaders to be able to really link what we do to value, right? We use the word value lots and lots and lots when we talk about analytics, but you know, half the time it's not really clear and it's not really transparent, and we're not able to really kind of articulate to the organization what is the value of the data, how much can it help, and how much can it change things. And post analytics delivery, how much is it actually delivered on its promise? So in a very funny way, I think some of the analytics journey in the next couple of years is, you know, technology is going to continue. Technology and algorithms will continue to advance at pace, but technology is not our problem here when we bring this into the wider business sphere. It's about actually getting that prominence, at the table. Yeah. And linking it to the organization. So I think that's going to be a big focus in one area. How the technology would go, I mean, look, I'm a technologist at heart, and I find the advances, you know, absolutely startling, actually, compared to where we were 10 years ago. And actually, you know, on so many things, you know, we've almost stopped having the discussion about a technology being a limiting factor here. Mm. You know, anything from, you know, accessibility of software, you know, because everything's, you know, accessible is now kind of can be got at through open source. Or, you know, the ability to run things at scale, you know, which kind of is helped by cloud. So like I think we'll see, you know, we'll see more and better consumption of analytics by business users and them kind of going up the chain a little bit in terms of complexity, but not heavily. And then I think you'll see a bit of an evolution in the analytics professional, and maybe a better understanding of how the analytics professional faces off with the organization. If we go back 10, 20 years, they had the same problem in finance. They had the same problem in HR, you know, as in some ways, you know, a function that serves the business. How do they best knit and integrate with the business? And I think that's our big question for the next next year or two.
I totally agree. I'm heartened to see the entries for our awards this year. Mm-hmm. our analytics and AI awards. You know, a couple of the categories are customer insights, and another one is business impact.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, we kind of struggled a little bit with those.
Yeah, yeah.
And now we this year, although we haven't publicized any of the entries yet, I've been really heartened by the quality and the depth of impact that organization are able to prove, you know, which is a good thing, you know, because we need more and more.
Super.
Of analytics actually making a tangible difference to the bottom line or delivering real customer value in order to ensure that organizations continue to buy in and invest in the profession. Owen, I know where you're tight for time. I very much appreciate our chat today. I really enjoyed it. And I also want to thank you for all the support you've given to the Analytics Institute over the years. I think you were at one of maybe our very first meeting, and have been a great supporter all the way through. So I'm very grateful to you. Thank you very much for this afternoon. I wish you every success moving forward. I hope that as we come out of recovery, you're even busier. And I look forward to working with you over the next number of years.
Yeah, no, thanks, Lorcan. And maybe I'll just also take the opportunity to congratulate you and the team on not just what you've done with the Analytics Institute, but also giving us all an avenue to connect in these kind of strange times. You know, I've been really enjoying the events, and I think everyone's looking for those, you know, outlets, you know, that are outside the normal team, you know, kind of daily team meetings. So well done. Keep it up. I think we have it for a couple of weeks ahead. So I'm looking forward to the future
Thank
ones.
Thank you very much, John.
Thanks, Lorcan.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like to hear more from other data leaders, please subscribe below.